Well, welcome back, folks. It's good that you stayed. I really appreciate that. I know some folks had to take off and get going, and certainly appreciate that as well. And for those that are at home, thanks for joining us. We're just going to take a little time, which we've done over the last 6 or 8 months, when times and events cause us to come together, and certainly that's happening right now. There are just a lot of things going on, and I think that it's good for us to come together and address them through the lens of God's Spirit and through God's Word, that we look at the things around us and ask questions like, how do I respond to these things in a godly way? How do I respond to these things in my heart and walk through these things and be a good citizen of the kingdom, be a good citizen of this country? This is all part of what God has called us to do. And so I'm just going to ask that you just tune your heart in for a moment. I might not make it all the way through without breaking down a little bit, because today, and many of you feel the same, that my heart is heavy. It's probably the heaviest I think I've felt anything in a long, long time. And so I feel like the Holy Spirit wants us to respond to that and to look at that and ask some really, really good questions. Again, we're going to pray and fast this Wednesday. That's January 13th. And we want to just call people to do that, to pray and fast and ask for God's direction. So with that said, let's do what we're saying we're going to do. Let's pray. Father, we just ask in Jesus' name, we come before you, and we ask for your great wisdom and direction for this nation. And Lord, we know that you love, absolutely love people. And Lord, we just know that you are doing a good work. It's hard to see, but let us see it. Let us have eyes to see. Let us have ears to hear what the Spirit is doing. And Lord, let us put aside our own bias. Let us put aside what finger pointing we have out there. Let's put aside that and get straight to this and find out what you got to say. We really want to know what you have to say to us today, this moment, and as we move forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the attack on our U.S. Capitol this past week was ugly. It was horrifying, indefensible. And when watching it, I was not sure if I was seeing what I was seeing. And I think many of you probably felt the same way, that you saw something happening that was almost unbelievable. And like others, I felt so many emotions that just were overwhelming. I was thankful that Annette and I had already set aside 4 or 5 days to pray together, to plan together. We did that, and it was in the middle of that time together that this all happened. And I'm thankful for us that we were able to really sit down and look at this. I think of all the emotions that we must be going through, and I'm not going to speak for you, I'm going to speak for me. I think what happened to me is I was deeply, deeply heartbroken. In fact, for a while, it was hard for me to even move around physically. It's been devastating to watch us devolve to this level in a culture. But I have hope. I have great hope in Jesus Christ. I have great hope in God's people. I have great hope in the Word of God. I have great hope. And I think that's the place the Lord wants to lift me up to. I think that's the place He wants to lift you up to. But I know for those things to happen, there's a cost to that. There's a requirement that God's Spirit and His Word put on us to be the people of God, to be the people of His kingdom in this time, in this age, in this day. The United States Constitution is one of the greatest, absolutely greatest documents ever written. And we live in the greatest country on the planet. I know that. As followers of Jesus Christ and as citizens of God's kingdom, we all have another constitution. If you say that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you say that you follow Him and you've given your life to Him, then you have another constitution that you must be paying attention to, especially during times when constitutions are being challenged. So what's being challenged right now is not only the United States Constitution. Even more, what's being challenged is the kingdom of God's constitution. To me, that's a great risk at times in the body of Christ. Because the Bible makes it clear we are the salt, we are the light. He's invested that into us. He's given us great confidence in saying, here, you guys are entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be good stewards of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. The constitution that I'm speaking of, and all that call Jesus their king, their Lord, their citizens of God's kingdom, it's the constitution found in the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus was teaching people and they were wanting to find God and they were searching, it's the one that you can measure your life by. And that you can lift up and say, is this godly or not? Am I godly or not? There's no gray area. It's very clear. And it's called the Beatitudes. And that's exactly why Jesus gave it. He gave it because this kingdom needed a constitution. And he says, here it is. Here's my constitution. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you falsely, and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And I say amen to that constitution. We are beholding to that constitution. There's something else with that in mind that I want to share with you. As I thought about how we process this, how do we go through this together, especially during a divisive time, how do we do this? Just asking God, how do we do this? How do I communicate? How do I say the things that I think I need to say in love, according to the gospel, according to the Beatitudes? How do I do this? The other day, I was just praying, and it was after all the events, and the Lord said something he's never told me to do before. He said, write a letter to your president. Just write a letter. So I sat down, and I wrote a 3-page letter. Not only as a citizen in this country to the chief commander, but as a leader, as a man who understands influence and understands how to influence people in a way that encourages them in the right direction and people being encouraged in the wrong direction, there's influence. And so I'm going to read you the letter. I told Annette I was going to do this. She goes, Ron, this is the most political you've ever been. I said, I don't know if I'm being political as much as I'm expressing a heart that is broken and a heart that wants to see healing and a heart that wants to see God's Spirit poured out on this nation where we have revival. And I think we might be seeing the beginnings of it, the makings of it. But there's going to be something required from you. I wrote this, and listen to me all the way through. Dear Mr. President, I deeply respect your position, the position you hold as the leader of our great nation. I pray for you regularly, and I've honored you as our president. But today, my heart is profoundly broken in ways that I've never experienced before. And I can honestly say it has little to do with whether or not you won or lost this past election. It has everything to do with a divisive culture you've created with your words. Sir, I care for you. As a leader, your words matter, as do the words of every leader and every believer in Jesus Christ. Your influence in this world is enormous, which means what you say to others and how you treat others has incredible impact. And as someone who leads and loves people, there have been many, many times when you have spoken and my heart sank. I thought to myself, oh, sir, you can't do that. These are people Jesus died for. These are people that Jesus loves even when they oppose you. Sir, your words really matter. Your words matter to us and can be used to build up or to tear down. And all too often, your words were used to tear people down. Mr. President, to think the attack on this Capitol was something that happened overnight would be a gross misjudgment. As over the last several years, your leadership has been harsh and demeaning. Words help create cultures. Words help create environments to happen. Immediately following the attack on the U.S. Capitol, the fingers started pointing. If everyone was there at a time, and if ever there was a time, we needed our president to use his words to lead us out of chaos with wisdom and clarity, it was then. I was hoping to see and hear strong and godly leadership. I wasn't angry, but deeply disappointed. I was hoping to hear the president I pray for step up and take responsibility. Sir, from someone who must be absolutely responsible for their words, I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you to do the same. You recently stated in one of your recent press releases, you will never take back our country with weakness. The Bible says, blessed are the meek, for they will be the ones that inherit the earth. Sir, it will be the meek and not the proud that see this country turned around and experience a revival with only one name to be lifted up, and that is the strong name of Jesus Christ. Mr. President, please know that I have compassion for you, that I pray God's blessing upon you, but I also pray for humility and repentance for all of us who call the United States their home. And to quote a prophet who who said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. There is no other formula, church. That is what is required of us. What will be required of you, what's required of me, is that we don't play the blame game. We know where that gets us. Remember? The woman made me do it. That's the garden, by the way. We're all so inclined when something happens to start blaming everyone else. I saw it. And good Christians. I'm going to say this. Skip over that part of this. And let's get to the heart of what we're called to do. If my people who are called by my name, that's me, it's me, that's me, and I get all the benefits of that. If those who are called by my name, if they humble themselves and pray, then I'll heal their land. So I'm calling on us to humble ourselves and to pray. Whatever that looks like for you, we'll pray in just a moment. We're going to have a time of prayer and fasting on Wednesday. There are a lot of places that someone can go with what has just happened, and I've chosen to go here. I've chosen to go here because I have been called to words. I know what words can do. I know the power. You have been saved by the word in flesh. That isn't to be taken lightly. Words really matter. And then you think of the time that you were bullied or something was said to you. It's still with you today. It's still with me today. And there were times I heard certain things and I felt like that kid, little kid, getting beat up in class. That's not the way God wants us to treat others, nor is it intended that we should experience that kind of thing. God will not shame us. He will not do that. He will love us. So friends, let me say this. Our words really matter. Words create culture. They create a culture in your home. For some of you, turning the tide of an abusive home life from language, from verbal abuse, and you're following Jesus, and you're turning that tide, you're breaking the curse of that in your home. You know what I'm talking about because you see the difference between being raised in an abusive word culture to raising your kids and your family in a constructive, encouraging word culture. Words create culture. They create a culture here. That's why when we speak, we pray about what we say. It's why when we speak, I think about what I'm going to say to you all through the week. And it isn't without its mistakes, but this is my life. This is how I'm absorbed. This is how I know I will influence you and the community that I'm part of. It comes by my word. Words create culture in your home. They create a culture in your community. They create a culture in your church. Christians, if I could tell you right now that if I knew that you getting off social media would solve the problem, I'd say, get the heck off now. I would. I don't know how effective that command would be, though. So what I'll say is this. Please steward your words well as a believer in Jesus Christ. Please. Do not use your words in a casual way, a flippant way, a demeaning way. Use your words well. Bring life with your words. And I want to continue to do that. And my pledge, my re-pledge to you, is I will do, powered by the Holy Spirit, I will use my words well to encourage you. I'll use my words well to lift you up. I'll use my words well to speak the truth of God. And because it's done this way doesn't mean that I'm a softie. It just means I got to take more time than some to work through it because I'm sometimes nasty. Friends, leaders don't get to say everything they want to say. You don't get to say everything you want to say if you are under the submission and authority of the Holy Spirit. We don't get to do that. Under the submission of the Holy Spirit, I want to honor Him and I want to honor you. I want that to be my legacy. Words create cultures, but words, let me tell you this, there's no such thing as a neutral word. I've heard people say, well, I really didn't mean it. Oh. Words are not neutral. How many know that? Can you just show me you're alive and lift your hand there? I feel better. Words are not neutral. You might be saying, why is he just hanging out on this one with all that's happened? Because this one is going to either make us or break us. I can tell you that. There's no such thing as a neutral word. When I look at my wife and I tell her I love her, that's not a neutral word. I mean that. And if I'm casual with that love to her, when I say that to her, the Holy Spirit comes along and says, you need to say that, and you need to mean it from your heart. And so I try my best to do that. But there's no such thing as a neutral word. Words either build up or they tear down. You decide which. Bring life or death. Bring healing or harm. Bring blessing or cursing. Those are the biblical choices we've been given. And I want you to remember this, and I'm done. Remember, your words represent the Word, God, the Word in the flesh. Your words represent the Word. That's why it's used. That's why that moniker was put on Jesus. He is the Word in flesh. Ask, will your words, what your words will do before you speak them. How many kind of get in a habit and let it drop from here to here and you can never take it back? Ask yourself when you say it or when you write it or when you do it. Ask yourself that question before you speak them. Again, the Bible has a lot to say about how you use two things. Do you know that? It's the two topics, two major topics of Scripture. It's how you use your tongue and it's how you use your money. Nothing else really comes close to those two. So I'm thinking that's very important to God. I am. Here's another one. I do this, my poor wife. Vent privately, not publicly. If you're gonna vent, I mean, even there, think about that. But vent privately, not publicly. And I've said this before, I want to say it again. Don't vent on social media after 8 o'clock and you've had 2 glasses of wine. It's never, ever a good combination. Ever. Ever. So shut the thing down. Put it in a closet. Lock it up and give your spouse the combination if you're so tempted. Find a way to secure your words and your heart when you know you're having a tough time doing it. Find a way, because it makes all the difference. And then the last thing is, word issues are heart issues. They're the same thing. And that's why before coming to you today and talking to you, this was processed over and over, filtered over and over, because you deserve that. You deserve that. People deserve that. And I want to be a person and a church that influences people toward the kingdom of Jesus Christ to come to salvation in Jesus. You do that with your words followed by action. Can you say amen to that? That's it. If you do, you want to respond, you can respond email, or most of you have my, all of you have my email. I found out most of you have my text too. My over this last COVID period, I went, oh, didn't know they had my number. I wasn't trying to hide from you. I just didn't know you had my number. Weigh what's going on right now. Because the first next few steps that you take during this week may determine the direction you head. Yeah. And if you know you took some steps, and you're thinking about that, and you took some steps in the wrong direction, just repent, please, just repent. Just say, Lord, I shouldn't have not done that. And then come back to a place where you can start with a clean heart, pure heart, clean hands, and good lips. Okay? My wife has good lips too, so I just want you to know that. So I had to throw that in and out. Father, you are so good to us. And we, your people who are called by your name, are going to be making choices about humbling ourselves. And the choice might come to whether or not I engage in a conversation that probably isn't healthy, or I start pointing fingers to people I think did certain things probably not healthy. And Lord, I want us, and I want me, to get to the heart of the matter that brings revival. And I'm so thankful that I live in this country. I'm so thankful of this beautiful, well-crafted document we call the U.S. Constitution. So grateful. Lord, I'm even more grateful that you've given us a constitution to live by in your kingdom. And it's almost counterintuitive to our flesh. Meek, worn, hungry. All the things we try to avoid. But you're calling us to a life as a citizen in your kingdom that influences the world. That we would be salt and light. In Jesus' name we pray. And we say together, amen.